Vishus Rabbi Shiner. Vishus Kol HaKol HaKadosh HaZeh. So we're all familiar with the Tosfos and Masechet Avodah Zarah. The Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, it talks about the two Gezeiros. There's a Gezeira of Bishul Akum and a Gezeira of Pas Akum. And there's different Gedarim, different Chilukim as to how Chazal were Gezer on Pas and how they were Gezer on Shlokos, on what's in the category of Bishul. L'mashul, Pas Akum is mutter if it's baked by a palter. It's baked in a commercial setting, but there's no chasnus, then chazal were matir pas. But when it comes to bishul of a palter is not mutter. But yet we have a heter by bishul of ena el al shulchan nalachim, and if it's nechal kamei shehu chai. So in order to start standing with the shayla of bishul akum, we first have to be asking ourselves, well, what is begeder pas, and what is begeder shulachos? What's the criteria to be mechalik? I'm assuming this was all discussed over the tkufa that you were learning Bishul Akum. Okay, so everyone knows the Beis Meir, the famous Beis Meir who's mechalik, that it depends on whether or not you would make hamotzi on it if you ate too much of it, or you ate more. We know the shift. You kaveya su'udon, pasav v'kisnin, or anything has the tsuras halechem, tsuras apas, dalet kebeim, five beim, whatever the shir is. So if you would eat a lot of it, you'd have to make hamotzi, then it's begeder pas, and therefore will be mutter, if it's pas palta. So for example, kakish cake is considered pas. Why? Because if you ate four big pieces of kakish cake, you're going to have to bench, and therefore that's called pas. It's going to be mutter by a palter. However, what about Cheerios? If you have three bowls of Cheerios, is Cheerios considered a pas, or is it considered shlokos? Nafkamina is, can you eat Kellogg's, cornflakes, Cheerios, whatever the brand is? If it's pas, then it's mutter because it's palter. But if not, you're going to have to be makbid and hold that Cheerios has to be pas Yisrael. I know it's a famous machlekes, but Rabbi Ashav holds that Cheerios is considered pas, and therefore it's going to be considered mutter to eat it by palter. Although, it comes out a big chumra, according to Rabbi Ashav, if you eat two, three bowls of Cheerios, you have to actually bench hazanis ha'ilam kulei v'tuvai because it's considered pas, whereas according to the common minhag today in America, the Cheerios are considered a shlokos, and therefore it goes into the category of bishul. However, we're matir because it's not oilal shulchan alachim, and that's why we're able to eat Cheerios as well, even though we hold it not. But that the criteria, which is what's considered pas and what's considered non-pas or shlokos, that's the first thing we need to be speaking about. And the second thing we need to always be thinking about is what it's made out of. Is it made out of the chamisha mini dagon? Then it could be pas. If it's not made out of the chamisha mini dagon, then it's going to be a question of bishul akum. And of course, the tayar lechem, if it has the tayar lechem, it can be, if it's the five minim, it could be considered pas. If it's not from the five minim, then it would not be considered pas. Now, there's an interesting shayla regarding donuts. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that anything that's isa ova, a thick dough, which is nitkan, you have it's deep fried or it's fried, it has a din of pas. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, if it's made by a palter, it's going to be mutter. So donuts which are mass-produced by a palter are considered pas akum, which is mutter by a palter, and it's going to be okay. Unless there's a minig to aser it, and the makar for that is the pre-chadash, who quotes the rivash, who paskins that way. But if you look at the rivash, you're going to see that the rivash who holds that it's considered pas is going according to the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, that holds that isa, which is nitkan, is considered pas gomor, complete pas. Which is also Taisus and Psachim Lam Zayin and Beis that we mentioned earlier. But we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. And you look in Hilchas Chala and Yerideh Sim and Shin Chav Tes, the year the Mechaber paskins not like Rabbeinu Tam. And he holds that it's not considered pas. So if it's pas, then donuts, you can eat it because it's pas palter if it's made by a Geisha company. But if it's Bishul Akum, instead of Bishul, then we have to rechin, well, are donuts considered Oilal Shulchan Balachim? They're obviously not nechel kamei shehu chai, because if it's raw, you're not going to eat it, but are donuts considered oile al shulchan melachim? So, it's actually an interesting shayla. Some people want to argue that it is oile al shulchan melachim, but haray is if you go to a Viennese table at a chasana, you're going to have donuts served on the Viennese table. And parperes could be included in bishul akum. So some wanted to say that l'chayra donuts, which are made by a Goyesha manufacturer, a Goyesha baker, should be considered shlokos. Even if you hold its shlokais, it's going to be aser atzbishul akam unless you hold its pas. Depending on whether you hold pas of a shenitgan is considered pas, or whether it's considered a tashul, will make a nafkamina lahalacha whether you could eat it. So there are those who some people came and they said to Rav Belsky Zatzal from the OU that they hold that donuts are oyla al shulchan malachim v'haraya that they're served at Viennese tables, and therefore they should be aser to eat if it doesn't have mamish bishul Yisrael. So Rav Belsky said that he disagrees. Number one, because primarily donuts are not oyla al shulchan malachim. Most donuts in the world that are eaten are not eaten on Shulchan Malachim. Why? Because why wouldn't people normally in a classy environment eat a donut? Because it makes your face dirty. You get the cream and you get the icing on your face. These are the words that he uses. And therefore, it's be'etzem, a food which cannot be oyla Shulchan Malachim. So what do they serve at the Viennese tables? They actually downsize the donuts and they become mini donuts. So since they have to change the donuts in order to make it oyla Shulchan Malachim, ki'ilu, you can't go and ask for the entire min of donuts because some people serve mini donuts at a Viennese table. So Meili held no. The fact that it's on a Viennese table does not make it Eilal Shulchan Malachim, and he held that donuts are not going to be a problem at all.
Mini donuts would be.
So according to this, so the other people tied it back to him, if Shechter tied it back to him, fine, let's be machalik then. Then mini donuts should be Eilal Shulchan Malachim. So Rebelsky said, well, now we have a question. If you make the donut small, it is Eilal Shulchan Malachim. If you make the donut big, it's not Eilal Shulchan Malachim. So without getting into the shayla of whether, which we'll get into soon, about whether Bishul Akam is a din on the min, or a din on the specific way of preparing the food, before we get into that, but the fact that you have the same donut, just bigger or smaller, that l'chari can't be machalik. So Velti said, l'maisa, look at 99% of the donuts that are served in the world, they're not Eilal Shulchan Malachim, and Mimela, you're not going to ask for the whole min just because some of them, and if they are eaten on Shulchan Malachim, it's still not considered Eilal Shulchan Malachim because there's always an anomaly. There's always funny things that happen. We'll talk about Nebuchadnezzar who ate a rabbit but was raw. That's not called Eilal Shulchan Malachim, even though you have an anomaly on where it happens sometimes. L'maisa Rav Shechter tied it back to him and he said, but there's a big difference because the mini donuts, he says, are made from cookie dough. No. Yeah. And the smaller ones are made from yeast dough. So it's a whole different donut. Yes, it's the both round, but it's a be'etzem, a different min. Has a different taste, the type, whether it's a cookie dough or whether it's a yeast dough, it's a different zach. And maybe we could taka aser only the small ones and not the big ones because it's taka a whole different min. L'maiser of Shechter was chayzer and he agreed to Rav Belsky because he said, L'maisa, we talk about donuts and ruba of donuts are not Eilal Shulchan Malachim. So yes, you could find a person who, the way Rav Belsky says it, some guy wanted to sell donuts, right? So he came with this idea, let's put it on the Viennese table. Problem was that they were left with the Viennese tables being full of donuts. No one wanted to eat them because their face was getting dirty. So what did they decide? Oh, downsize it, make it small, and that way everyone will be able to eat it without any dirt getting on their face. So some chacham who had a marketing idea decided we're going to downsize the donuts so people's faces don't get dirty. Says Rav Belsky, that cannot make it into Oyle al Shulchan Malachim. Some marketing genius who came up with the idea is not going to make the whole min of donuts usher. And in Mele Rav Shechter was maskim that donuts are not going to be a problem of Bishul Akam. So again, since they're not Oyle al Shulchan Malachim, since we're Noyheg, the Mechaber holds that Isa Ova, which is Nitkan, right, deep fried dough, is not pas. It's rather a Tavshil. So since it's a Tavshil, we now have to don with it al Bishul Akam. And al Bishul Akam, you can't say it's Oyle al Shulchan Malachim, because the Viennese table is an anomaly. It's not most donuts are not served in that fashion. But let's go along with the same shayla regarding breakfast cereals, which is be'etzem, so to speak, the same shayla. Again, is it pas, or is it going to be shlokos? So the shayla is going to be, again, if you eat too much of it, will you have to bench? That's the criteria according to the Beis Meir. So you know, I mentioned the Rav Eliyashiv holds that Cheerios do have a Teresa Dinahama, or Toyar Lechem, which is not the shita which is makubal today. We hold that it does not have its tzeres lechem, and therefore we don it al bishul. And if the shayla bishul, so then is it nechel kamei shuchai? No, so that's a problem, right? Is it al shulchan malachim? Well, how do we decide what al shulchan malachim means? So it's not, you're not going to find it on the Viennese table. If you invite it to the White House for dinner, you're probably not going to get it either. So l'chayra, it's not Eila Shulchan Malachim, and therefore there's no problem with Cheerios. However, what about according to the Chazon Ish? How does the Chazon Ish touch up Eila Shulchan Malachim? Right, the Hamayin Am touch it up, which is the way we paskin, is that would a melech serve it at an official dinner? So there's a famous maisa with Rav Shimon Schwab who once traveled to Eretz Yisrael. He met with the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish had a taina on Rav Shimon Schwab, how come the Olam in America is noyeg to eat sardines with Bishul Palter, basically, without Bishul Yisrael. So what was the taina? The taina was because he found out that the Queen of England eats sardines for breakfast. So if the Queen of England eats sardines for breakfast, the Meili sea sardines are Oila Shulcham Alachim. If they're Oila Shulcham Alachim, then we should not be allowed to eat them either. So Rav Shimon Schwab said to him, that we are medayik the lashon of shulchan melachim lashon rabim, that there's two melachim eating together. Would they eat it or would they not eat it together? The Queen of England might eat sardines for breakfast, but that's because no one's watching her. If she invited the prince of wherever, Zimbabwe, over for breakfast, she's not going to serve him sardines. It's not oila al shulchan melachim lashon rabim. And therefore, yes, you can find someone to eat it, but it's not going to be what's called Oila Shulchan Malachim. So Rav Belsky, so some wanted to say, according to this Chazon Ish, L'chai is a makim to be machmir on Cheerios, because chances are that the Queen of England eats Cheerios for breakfast. Mistama, right? And if the Queen of England mistama, if she eats sardines, she probably eats Cheerios. If she eats Cheerios, then probably it's to be Oila Shulchan Malachim, according to the Chazon Ish. And is a makim to be machmir? Oh, so Rav Belsky said, Amar de Kazach. Rav Belsky said that, says, you have to understand, there's halacha, there's hanhaga on how we paskin, and then there's always going to be someone who says something, right? There's always going to be another shita. There's always someone who's chaylik. So how do we decide who to include in our shikul, whether it's mutter or asr, or and who not? So there's klalim, who's normally, you know, shitas that are always accepted, that most people are dining with all the time. He says, the Chazon Ish is chumra, that the taich of Oila Shulchan Malachim means a food which is chashav, that a king would want to eat it, as opposed to a food which is served by a king to others. He says, that is a das yachid, and therefore that doesn't have a makam to even be rechened in halacha. Yes, lepopula, you could dine with the Chazon Ish shita. But when you're coming to Paskin Halacha L'maisa, you shouldn't even reckon with the Chazon Ish, because it's a Mamish Adas Yachid, because he's saying Shulchan Malachim does not mean served at a state dinner. What it means is, would the king, is a chashav enough for a king to eat it or not? Then he says, I'll bring you a raya, a famous story which you mentioned beforehand with Nebuchadnezzar, that he told Chizkiyahu HaMelech walked in, Chizkiyahu was Ke'eved Lefnei HaMelech, and Chizkiyahu caught Nebuchadnezzar in the act of eating a live rabbit. He was served a rabbit alive, and Nebuchadnezzar was eating it. And Nebuchadnezzar was so embarrassed that Chizkiyahu called, he made him make a shvua. If you remember the Gemara in the Dharma, a whole longer Gemara over there. But it wouldn't be Megala. And the kid said he was Megala, and he whole Shilas, how could he be Megala? So he said, what I meant was, I am being Megala, the whole story. But he says, okay, so you have a rabbit, raw, live, being eaten by Nebuchadnezzar. Is that going to be considered Oila Shulchan Malachim according to the Chazon Ish's Taich? Good, you found the Queen of England eats sardines. Okay, I found Nebuchadnezzar eats live rabbits. Is that called Oila Shulchan Malachim? Avadi not. There's things that happen that doesn't necessarily make it, doesn't get reched now into halacha, that it should be Oila Shulchan Malachim. No, Gemara's in Pesachim, that Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, it says there was a Bas Melech that the to make it a more contemporary context, she liked peanut shoes, right? And the pasnish for Bas Melech to eat peanut shoes, tzikei kedera. So her avadim secretly baked her tzikei kedera, and they would slip it into her, you know, so she can eat it when no one was watching. So Velsky says, so you're going to tell me now that these tzikei kedera are Oila Shulchan Malachim avadi? You could have a melech who eat something, and that's not going to make it Oila Shulchan Malachim. So avadi, the Queen of England, yes, she's eating sardines, but that's not going to be Oila Al Shulchan Malachim, and therefore Rebelsky said the same thing applies to Cheerios, that yes, you're going to find a Malach like Cheerios for breakfast, but that's not called Eila Shulchan Malachim, because the Taich of Shulchan Malachim is, would it be served among Malachim? Would Malachim serve it in each other's presence, and you'll never catch a Malach serving Cheerios and milk at a breakfast with another Malach?
eat some snack and pill drink, and she ate breakfast. That was her breakfast.
Yeah, correct, correct, correct. The Nash is not called Leila Shulchan Malachim. Parperes is, right? So you have to be mechalek between what's called a parperes by a Seuda versus what's called a snack time, a snack thing.
She doesn't want to. Everyone should know she's eating, so these for breakfast.
Very good, very good. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Kuf Samaches, talks about Teresa. Teresa. And he paskins that Teresa, you don't make a maitzi on even if you're kaveya su'uda, because it doesn't have the tayar lechem at all. What is Teresa? Pancakes. It's pretty clear from the mafreshim that Teresa is pancakes. So it comes out the mechaber holds that pancakes do not have tzuras lechem, so it's not begeder pas, it's begeder shlokais. So you have to dan with it, else the gedarim of bishul as opposed to the gedarim of pas. The Magen Avraham, though, is chaylik. The Magen Avraham holds that if you kaveya su'uda on pancakes, that you do have to wash and bench hamaitzi. So according to him, comes out of kula. According to the Magen Avraham, pas palter, pancakes of palter are going to be mutter. According to the Mechaber, pancakes of a palter are going to be usser, because bishul, if it's not tzures alechem, and it's a question of bishul, there's no heter of bishul palter. So that would be totally in Pasha Nitkan that we spoke about it. Isa Ava, right? If something is flash fried in water or in oil, what then it would be? But if we're talking about frying a loose dough, I don't think that would make a difference. I don't think that would make a difference. So it really boils down to Tayar Lechem or not Tayar Lechem. We'll talk about it a little bit more. You'll see what I mean. The Mishnah Berurah leaves it as a machlekes, and Itaka isn't machriya whether pancakes are shlokos like the Machaber, or whether they're considered pas like the Magen Avraham. So, Lemaisa, Rav Shechter would say, it doesn't make a nafkamina. Because Meman of Shech, today's commercial pancakes are going to be mutter. Because if you hold that they're pas, so pas is mutter if it's from a palter. If you hold it's bishul, then it's pancakes are oila shulchan malachim or not oila shulchan malachim. Not oila shulchan malachim. So Lemaisa, we do give a hechsher to pancakes today, even commercial pancakes that you buy frozen, the ultimate manafshach, because we don't know whether it's pas or whether it's a tavshel, but it makes no nafkamina because manafshach, it's going to be mutter. Now, you all learned the mechaber that talks about, in Kuf Yud Beis, that talks about beidim that were smeared over the top of lechem, and whether or not it's considered aser al special akam or not, and you know that there's a machlokes there between the Mechaber and the Ramah, which the Mechaber seems to be more makel, right? And the Ramah seems to be more machmer. The lashon of the Ramah there is that it's be'en. You have a covering of the eggs over the white bread, or the bread that's be'en, and therefore, since be'em are considered a tavshil, it's considered mevushel, it's obviously an apas, so, and it's oila shulcha malachim, kings do eat eggs. Therefore he holds, according to Ramah, you have to be machmer, that if you smear eggs over your bread, it has to be bishul Yisrael. So the shaila is, when the Ramah says be'en, what's he talking about? Because all of our bread today, your challahs that you buy every Shabbos, are smeared with egg. Do you see it? Is it be'en? Is it not be'en? So what exactly is the Ramah handling with? What's he talking about? So it's the machlekes among the paiskim. The Vilna Gaon says, the Gra and Kuf Yud Beis in Sifkat and Dalid, says the Ramah is talking about where there's a thin glaze. There is a mamashis there of egg. But the Aruch HaShulchan says that a thin layer is going to be mutter. And the Ramah is talking about where it's a thick layer. So Rav Belsky would say that the Ramah does not seem to be mashma, it's a thick layer. He seems to say it's be'en, but the Ramah agrees that what we have on our challah, that's not called be'en. Because you don't even know there's egg there. It's mamish, it's a thin layer glazed over the challah or over the bread, that egg is not considered bishul. Tavshil, and therefore it would not be be'en, and therefore would not be needed to be bishul Yisrael. So the difference is more in the color, but it's not like you see, there's no egg there. B'chal. So this is Revelsky's Chiddush, that when the Ramah says be'en, we're saying chazus alav milsahi. So yes, it gives an appearance, it darkens the bread, it doesn't have that white, right? It has a much darker color because you're covering it with egg, but you can't see it bechlal. That doesn't fit into what the Ramah says when he says be'en. Okay. I'm going to leave that topic for a minute. We'll, Mr. Shem, if we have time, we'll come back to it later. We'll talk just about waffles. Are waffles considered pas, and therefore they have the heter of pas palter, or are waffles considered a shlokos, and therefore you need to have that they're oil al shulchan melachim? Right? You can buy them commercially from geisha companies all over. I personally give a heksher to one of the private label companies, and there's thousands of waffles out there on the market, frozen waffles, thick frozen waffles they can get in any freezer in any major grocery, which comes with a heksher. But the question is, does it need to be Bishul Yisrael? Is it pas? Do you say waffles are Tayar Lechem or not? Shaila is, what's the criteria, how we decide? If you eat a lot of them, would you have to bench? That's the criteria. If you eat a lot, you'd have to bench. It's considered pas. If you eat a lot, and you don't have to bench, that's considered shlokos. So Lemaisa, Rav Shechter holds that waffles are considered mezonos, and it depends if they're thick waffles or thin waffles.
Even according to the Magen
Avram? Well, we're gonna don each one separately, right? We're gonna say correct. It's a good point, and yes, we're gonna say waffles might be different than pancakes. And he says a very good point. And then he says as follows: the thin waffles that we're talking about is the kind of thing you get at chasanas, and they put a spoon of ice cream on top of it. Right? It's like a thin waffle, almost like a cracker, and they dump a scoop of ice cream on top of it. And then you have the waffles, you know, the waffles that you put the syrup on and your jelly and your sugar, whatever you put on. He says the thick waffles. Those have a tayar lechem, and therefore, if you have a lot of waffles, you're going to have to bench. Therefore, he says that pas palter, the frozen waffles which you buy in the store are pas, and therefore, there's going to be a heter of pas palter. But the thin waffles are actually going to be in the gather of no tayar lechem. If you have a lot of them, you're not going to bench, and therefore, it would have to be nechal kamei shuchai, ayla shulchan melachem, the criteria of that. I'm sorry? So, what do you think? Are waffles oila al shulchan malachim?
Ice cream.
What's that? Okay, so is putting it underneath the ice cream, is that called parparis or not? Or is it considered tuffle to the ikar ice cream? It's a tuffle, so therefore it wouldn't have a din of...
Is the ice
I have to come up with a good answer to that. I'm trying to think of what it is. Is the ice cream tuffle to the cracker? Okay. It might depend on your culture. It's a cultural thing. It's a specific thing. We'll talk about that a little bit later. That these things are cultural. It mamish depends. L'chfi ha-makayim, the Rambam says l'chfi ha-makayim and l'chfi ha-zman. So, well, that's the question. Our pancakes, we said, are not ayla al-shulchan malachim. That's why pancakes are mutim b'manavshach. If it's pas, it's pas palter. If it's a shlokos, then it's not ayla al-shulchan malachim. Waffles, would you say, if the president invited you over for breakfast at the White House, would he serve you waffles? That's the question. It's a cultural thing, and it depends. In one country, it might be one way. One country, another way. I suspect he would not serve you waffles, but I may be wrong. I don't know. If I went to the White House, I would not expect to eat waffles for breakfast. Maybe, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. I never thought about it. It's not waffles. I don't know. Okay, let's move on. Another shaila is regarding coffee. You learned this about this, a fascinating shaila. Because we know that there are many paiskim, the Pischei Tshuva and Kuf Yud Dalet, the Daki Tshuva and Kuf Yud Gimel, hold that coffee is a tavshil, it's shlokos, and if it's made by a guy, it's treif. So according to many, many achrayim, it's usher to drink coffee at Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, any place like that, because it's bishulakum. The reason why you see many people being makel on this, I don't think everyone's makel on it, I think people are makbid not to go to these places, but those who are makel are being samech on the Pri Chadash, who talks about beer. That beer, l'chayr, is also bishulakum. And it's good to stop for a second and focus on how you make beer. The way you make beer is by taking barley and you mix it with hops and put it in water, you cook it up,
And then you put in some enzymes and zaken, and then it becomes the alcohol, sugar separate, the alcohol separate, and then you have beer. So you're starting off cooking barley and making it, adding in water, right, with water. And then you separate the barley and you're left with the beer, which has the alcohol in it. So the shayla is, l'chayra, if you're cooking the barley, every beer should be bishulakum. And there's no heter of palter, so Budweiser, Heineken, everything should be usser. Like the shittas who are makbid on coffee, which is many achrayim, we're not allowed to eat in Starbucks, and we can't eat, drink any beer at any Shalom Zachar, any bris. It's all considered bishulakum.
Barley is not only shulchan.
Very good point. Very good point. But the, what you make with it is a shulchan malachim. The beer, so it would be. So again, if you hold that coffee is a problem, then beer, you know, and it's the same needin. If the beer is a problem, then the coffee should be a problem. L'chayra. Lemaisa de Prichadash is Mekel, and he says the reason why it's okay is because the ikker of the coffee is the water. And the water is Nechal Kamei Shehu Chai. So you can apply that principle to beer as well. The ikker of the beer is the water, which is Nechal Kamei Shehu Chai, and therefore it's not a problem at all. The Gilyan Marsha is the one who brings it down, of Shlomo Eger, and he says it was Mekubal, that's the minigum on many, many tzaddikim and chasidim, that they would drink coffee by the Goyim, buy coffee from the Goyim, being samech on this heter that the ikar is water. Now, it's kedai just to note that although the Gilyan Marsha is talking about the minhag in Europe, that minhag does not necessarily apply here, because in America, the different Vadi Kashas talk about the fact that the coffees that are made in a Starbucks or in a coffee bean or places like that, they sometimes have flavored coffees. And flavored coffees could have real shilas of kashrus. And then you cook the kalim together, you wash them in the same dishwasher and different things. There are many different shilas that come up. Other shilas, which is kedai to know about, is the Rav Shechter and the, also told all the mashkichim that work for the OU that it's usser to drink coffee in Starbucks. I don't want to ruffle anyone's feathers. But he says it's because Chazal made a gezeir on sheikhar shel goyim, that it's usser to mishum chasnas to drink beer, even beer that's kosher. You're not allowed to drink it in the Beisai Shalgoi because of chasnas. And he held, like the Achrayinim had said, it applies to any major drink, which is considered acceptable, that you sit down and drink, it's also usher. So if Shechter Taka holds that it's usher to drink a cup of coffee in Starbucks, even if you're going to drink Starbucks, you could take it and go. But to sit there in the Starbucks and drink it, he says that's considered drinking it in their Makayim, and it's included in the Gezeri that it's that would be usher. So the things are different. Not everything is the same today as it used to be. However, true, but would you eat just the coffee itself? No. So why are you there? You're only drinking it because of the water. So the water is the majority. The coffee bean is the minority. So therefore, it's a heter. This is the heter that we're saying on today to say, well, there's no bishulakum on coffee. And the same thing applies to beer.
What's the answer about the kashrus issue, you said, in a Starbucks, and the flavors gets mixed, the kalim?
Okay, so maybe it'll take us off topic. Should I answer that now or later?
Yeah.
Maybe afterwards in the question and answer time we'll answer that. There's also Chachmas Adam that says it's pasnish for a yid to sit in a makim that goyim have to drink. Okay, so if you hold that coffee is water and therefore there's no bishulakum, or you hold like the other achrayim, that it's not water, but it's a cheftza called coffee. Makes a big nafkamina lahalacha, zaitiga halachas, which is, can you make kiddush on coffee? Right? You can make kiddush on chamar medina. If you don't have wine, you can make it on chamar medina. But you can't make kiddush on water. So if you hold that you're allowed to drink coffee from the goyim because the ikar is the water, then you can never make kiddush or havdalah on coffee. Correct. Nafkamina is during the 9 days, right? Many people make havdalah during the 9 days on beer, but it depends. If you hold that you can make havdalah on beer, then l'chayra, you can't drink it b'chlal, right? Meman afshach. Because if it's kasher for havdalah to chamar medina, then it's bishulakum. So it's one of these fascinating things that we have going on. That's one nafkamina l'halacha. Another nafkamina is that, well, it depends, exactly. So that's the shayla. Is it water or is it a chefta called coffee? So that's obviously what we're being saimechan. You're right. That's obviously what we're being saimechan. But I'm just pointing out that the paiskim are mechalik, and we're our culture today has become so much developed over so many kulas, hopping from all different tzadim, just something to withdraw back to the Iker Halacha to know what the Iker Halacha is. It's Taka Shaila. It's not so pashut that you're allowed to drink a coffee. Not so pashut that you can make beer, havdalah on beer or on coffee. Another nafkamina halacha is, can you drink coffee before shachris? If you hold the Iker as the mayim, then mayim you're allowed to drink before davening. But if you hold it's a cheftza called coffee, then you're not allowed to drink coffee before shachris. The Mishnah Brura, we know, who's matir, drinking black coffee, seems to hold that it's water. Coffee is considered v'ikar water, and therefore that's some of what he was being basing his heter on.
So but now, how could we drink beer at that moment? Are we drinking beer and making alcohol?
So we're going to see, it's because Bishalakim is a derabanan, so we're able to be, culturally, we became very, very makel in it. It is b'etzem mestira, and you could also argue and say what he said, that yes, it's water, but it's not, l'maisa midin chamaridin, it's a little bit different than water. You can say that too. L'chayra. I imagine at a steak dinner, you think. What was that again?
We're considering breakfast.
No. We're considering sardines or pancakes or waffles, not ayla shulcha malachim. But breakfast is, well, what the king eats breakfast. Well, whatever he eats by breakfast together with his friends will be.
Served beer at a dinner.
Yes. Yeah, beer is something that's served at any chash of a dinner. They might not serve you Heineken or Budweiser, but they'll serve you beer. I can't tell you which type because it wouldn't be appropriate for the setting, but definitely beer is a mild, like whiskey. Whiskey is an alcoholic beverage, and it's something which people do serve at state dinners.
At dinner before or after?
So it would all be included.
I think this would be more of like a snack, right? You sit down with peanuts and a beer, maybe before or after dinner.
So that would not be considered, it's not l'lachas b'yis apas, it's not taich su'udah, and therefore that situation would not be considered a shulchan malachim. If it's something a king would only drink, you know, late at night when he's sitting and schmoozing with his friends playing cards, that's not a su'udah.
The mitzvah is that they're sitting in a main course and drinking
a
beer.
Yeah, correct. That's part of the criteria of a shulchan malachim.
And that would be the case right here.
Yes. If I'm wrong, again, this is a cultural thing, which we'll see, it's l'fi ha-makam and l'fi ha-zman.
I've seen lots of state dinner menus. It always comes with a wine pairing. I've never seen the beer.
I can hear beer being.
Basically, what it's asking is, how do you know?
So it happens to be that the Vade Kashrus do call the White House. I was just reading today an article by the Star K and in preparation of the shir, and they have there that they actually spoke to the chef of the White House and they got the whole menu because they were handling over something about whether it's Bishalakim or not. The nafkamina was. I think it was instant coffee or something. It was some sort of thing.
Yeah, and the menus for the kosher and that?
Yeah, and then the chef responded, we don't do anything. It was Nagaya waffles. He says, if we make waffles, we make them fresh. We don't make any frozen waffles. You know, he was saying, like, everything is fresh. So anything that's frozen is not Eilat Shulchan Malachim Be'etzem. That's what the chef was planning. Okay, I wanted to bring up the coffee because I wanted to bring up another Shaila, which is fascinating. It's a tshuva from Moshe Weiss, Shlita. And it's a Meridika tshuva, which really gives a tremendous hekif of all the halachas of Bishalakim. And I thought you would enjoy hearing it. And it's a shaila which he was asked regarding sake. Right? Sake, you know, is a Japanese alcoholic beverage. It's an alcoholic beverage made from rice, which is sold here in all the local stores. All the wine stores have this. It's called sake. It's kind of like a whiskey, but made from rice. And bekitzer, the way they make it is they take rice, and it's good to pay attention to the details because the details make a big nafkamina halacha. They take rice in Japan, and they cook it with steam. They steam it till it's kemachol ben drusoy. Okay, these are concepts that you learned about in Kufyat Beis and Kufyat Gimel. So they're cooking it till machol ben drusoy, then they mix it with enzymes and let it sit for a few days to dry out. Okay, after it dries out for a few days, they then add in water and yeast, and then the alcohol begins to develop, and that's called sake. Take out the rice then, leave only the liquid, and you have basically, it's like rice beer, rice, you know, type of thing. But it's more like whiskey. Now, do you know the difference between beer and whiskey? Okay, all whiskey was once upon a time beer. The process of making whiskey is you first make beer. Okay, you take barley, you cook it up. Oh, you cook it up, and then when the alcohol develops, you distill it. Distilling it means that you heat up the mash, which has the alcohol in it, And then alcohol flashes. Alcohol changes from liquid to gas form. And I think it's about 170 range. So at 160, 170 range, you're already losing your alcohol. It's going up as steam. Whereas water only flashes closer to above 190, closer to 212, but it already starts with a little bit before that. So when you heat it up to 170 or so, your alcohol is going to flash off. It's going to turn into a gas, but the water is going to stay down. So basically, you're separating the alcohol from the mixture of the beer. So whiskey was once beer that all the alcohol was taken out of. Okay? So sake is the same thing. They make the beer, rice beer, and then they distill it, separating the alcohol, and that's what's called sake. So the shaila is there a problem of bishul akum on the sake? Because in Japan, they're cooking it, obviously they're not yidden, and they're cooking up the rice with steam, till it's kamachal ben drusai. They're then going to make the keep, you know, make the steam, and then make it into liquid. So this is a shaila that the OU actually sent Rav Asher Weiss, who's now one of the paiskim of the OU, and asked him what his opinion is. So he said as follows. He says, writes a beautiful tshuva, and he says he's going to look at it from seven different angles. The first angle is there an isser of bishul akum on a mashke? Or do you say bishul akum only applies to a meichel? Second nekuda is there an isser of bishul akum on steam? If you cook something with steam, or you might want to extend it, I'm sure you discussed about a microwave, or a convection oven, is that called bishul akum?
Isn't that cooked with steam? Is it?
The sake is. The first third, till machal kamachal ben drusai, it's steamed. And then it's mixed with enzymes, and then it's cooked after it dries. So that's the shot. The steam, kitur, is steam considered bishul for regarding din of bishul akum? The next thing is there an isser of bishul akum if it was only till kamachal ben drusai? If the guy stopped cooking it at kamachal ben drusai, is it considered bishul akum? The fourth thing is commercial cooking. Is there an issue of commercial cooking, a bishul akum on commercial cooking? I'm sure you discussed it, right? Whether or not something that's cooked in a major commercial setting where there's no shaylav chasnos, is that included in the gezerah of bishul akum? We'll come back to it later. And the fifth thing is there an issue of bishul akum if the bishul was not there to prepare the food for cooking, for eating? The reason why they steamed the rice was to prepare, to start a process after which they would then dry it and then mix in enzymes and then cook it and then distill it, right, to ultimately get to a sake. Does that initial cooking, which was not intended bechlal to prepare it for achila, is there bishul akum on that? The next nekuda is because it was distilled, it changed from rice being cooked with enzymes with alcohol to whiskey through the distillation process, where it changed from a liquid into a gas, and then the gas condensed on the sides of the distillation column and came back down as alcohol, is that considered a shinoi, which would take off the iser of bishul akum, which was already chal on it in the rice, lu yitzuyer, it was chal on it in the rice, would the issue iser of bishul akum come off now that it changed into a gas and now came back down as a liquid? And the final nekuda is there bishul akum on something that's not bala lafis boyas apas? If it's not intended to mamish be eaten together with a solid bread, is that something which is going to be usr? Lamaisa, the first nekuda is the bishul akum on mashkim. So we already spoke about coffee, that is pretty clear in the paiskim that by coffee there is bishul akum. The achrayim do handle and seem to have some sort of a nidoin that maybe not. There's the Be'er Esek, there's the Beis Yehuda, and a couple of others who seem to hold that mashkim do not have a problem with bishul akum. But Lamaisa, it's mefurish, ruba paiskim say beferish, there is bishul akum, and it is raya beferish from the Gemara. The Gemara might cut in daf yud beis amid beis. Talks about a ma'aseh where Reb Yehuda Nasiya nafak bechumrasa de medusha ve'ishti maya de achim kfeila arma. That Reb Yehuda Hanasi, he went outside on Shabbos with a ring that had his insignia on it, and he also drank water heated by a kfeila, by a goy. So Reb Ami heard about it and he got very upset. So Reb Yehuda said to him, what are you upset about? If it's because of the chumrasa de medusha, the ring that he wore on Shabbos, that we already know, it has a din of taboy sunizamim, and you're allowed to carry them. if you got upset because he drank water heated by a guy, it's nechal kamayshu chai. So it's beferish in the Gemara that water heated by a guy is only mutra, it's nechal kamayshu chai. You see that there is a din of bishul on mashkim. That's one raya. Another raya is the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Testament Beis, talks about dvash tamarim, date, honey. And one of the ways that they would separate the dvash from the pomace, the pieces that come with it, is by cooking it. And the heat would help them separate. So there the Gemara says that dvash of goyim is mutter because it's nechal kamay shulchai. So again, you see that a goy cooked it, you're allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's nechal kamay shulchai. L'maisa, the Rambam says beferish that in the Hilchos Macholos Asuris Perek Yitzayin Halacha Yadalid, that akum shebishel yayin or cholav or dvash, it's a dovash nechal kamay shulchai harelu mutarim. So you see beferish in the Rambam. So therefore, Rav Asher White says, let's forget about that shayla. It's pashat. The din of bishul akum applies to mashkim. There's no shayla about it. The next shayla is regarding steam. Is there bishul akum on steam? What is the shayla? So the first one who talks about it is the Shem Aryeh in Simon Chaf Beis, and he quotes that there are people who want to be makel to say that kitor is like ishum. What is kitor? You're cooking with steam. We learned beferish, and I think it was Kuf Yud Gimel, if I'm not mistaken, that ishun, smoking something to make it edible, is not bechlal the iser of bishul akum, because you need to have bishul through an esh. So some wanted to say, well, steam is similar to ishun. And just like ishun has no problem with bishul akum, so too steam has no problem with bishul akum. So the Shem Aryeh is chaylik on this person, and he says no, because steam is a tolda of ar. So just like if you cook with steam, which is a tol davar on Shabbos, you'd be chayv mishum evashel, so too, it's going to be considered bishul akum. Steam, if you cook with steam on Shabbos, you'd be chayv... Right, ishun on Shabbos is not together bishul, no. Well, you're not cooking with... We're not talking about hot smoke, we're talking about cold smoke. Like salmon, lamashal, lox, is not really cooked that much. It depends which type of lox, but it's smoked. It comes, right? So it makes it roi la'achila. It's a cold smoke, but it makes it roi la'achila. So that, just like the Ramah says, that there's no issue of ishun, right, of bishul akum. Kita, which is hot steam, we're saying the matirim wanted to say it's the same thing. So the Shem Aryeh says that no, steam is l'maaseh, it's hot. It's a tolda of aron. Just like you're going to be chayav on Shabbos, it should be a problem of bishul akum. And therefore, it should, yeah, so just like it's bishul for Shabbos, it's bishul for, L'maisa, the Rav Asher Weiss says, a second, is that a true tsushtel? Is it true that what's cooking for Shabbos is cooking for bishul akum? Is that assumption correct? We know by Shabbos, bishul depends on or, because the definition of mevashel is cooking with a fire. By Shabbos, you could say, well, if it's a tolda of fire, maybe that's also considered bishul. But when it comes to bishul akum, the Ramah says very clearly, you have to cook with a fire. And that's why ishun is not going to be a problem. It says the lashon of the Ramah is bishul shel esh. It's in the Ramah in Kuf Yud Gimel and Sif Yud Gimel. It says you need bishul shel esh. If it's bishul shel esh, that's why ishun, smoking, is not a problem. If that's the case, perhaps steam is also not a problem, because steam is not cooking with fire. You're cooking with steam. That's number one. It says, and also, that which he writes that steam is a tolda of esh, and that's why Yechayev on Shabbos, he says, it's not really a tolda of esh, it's a tolda of esh. Because the water, if you cook with the water that was heated by the fire, that's a tolda of esh. But the water now turns into steam, that's a tolda of esh. Mehechatesi, you're going to be chayev for cooking with steam on Shabbos, bachlal. Maybe you're not chayv midaraisa, and if so, by bishul akum, maybe it would not be a problem. So Rav Asher Weiss says, he writes another tshuva somewhere else, that Hitaka holds that you need bishul be'esh mamish in order to be over for bishul akum, and also the ben ish chai in Parshas Chukas.
If you boil something, that's not considered a tolda of a tolda, right?
Boiling is a tolda. It's a very good question. Good? You're sharp? You're on the ball today? You're very sharp? So you're right. That's not even a right. It's mamish. If you have a fire underneath, the heat, correct. The heat is the going transferring through the liquid into the product. That's bishul with a fire. That is bishul. That is the case of bishul. The case of bishul with water, which is a tolda, is where you're cooking the water in a boiler, sending the hot water out of the boiler through a coil into a pot, which is how it's done in commercial settings, and then back to the boiler. So in that case, the pot has no sheiches to the father, to the fire. It's the water being expelled from the boiler, heating up the food in this pot, and then being put back. That would be a case of water being a tolda of esh. And in that case, if you change that water into steam, that would be the case where it's a tolda of a tolda. Very good point. Okay, Lamaisa, the Ben Ish Chai also says in Parshas Chukas that hevel, which is kitor, steam, is mikoyach shlishi. It's mikoyach ha'esh, and therefore there's no iser. And he says that the Ben Ish Chai writes that hevel, which is steam, is considered ashan. And it would be the din of ishan. It would not be a din of bishul. In the Darkei Tshuva, and Kuf Yud Gimel also brings down, as you saw, that there's a makim to be matir bishul al yidei kitor. It's a machlekes even among the Heintig Apaiskum, the Shevet HaLevi. Rav Vosner writes in Chelek Vav Simen Kuf Ches that you go derech bishul lefi ha-makayim v'lefi ha-zman, and whatever's normal way to cook in your time and place, that is considered regular bishul. So Lamaisa today in the commercial industry, it's normal to cook with steam. And there's different types of steam. There's direct steam injection, there's steam that goes through coils, but whatever it is, people use steam. So according to Rav Vosner, it would be considered bishul akum if you cook with steam today, whereas according to the Sridei Eish and the Reb Menashe HaKotan and the Reb Moshe Feinstein, they seem to be mekel, and also Reb Avadi Yosef in Yabia Omer, Chelek Heyer, Der Semen Tes is also Noita LeHakel, and also Reb the Minchas Yitzchak is also Noita LeHakel together with other Tzirufim. So therefore, that's also a tzad to be mekel, that since the first third of the Saki, when the rice is cooked, the sun through steam, there's a big makrim to say that steam is not considered bishul in the gather of bishul akum. The third shaila is, if the guy cooks it till ben drusai, till kamachol ben drusai, is it considered a problem? Does the iser stay with it through the rest of the process or not? I see I'm running short on time. I think we should just probably keep on going and then we could have questions and answers later, I guess. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah talks about a Yisrael. You spoke about, the Mechaber talks about, right, Ad Shlish Bishulai. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Lamed Chesam Ralph, says, a Yisrael is Mevashel Kamachal Ben Drusai, the Tavshel is not Nesar, even if a guy finished the cooking. So Yisrael cooked it the first third, and then a guy finished the cooking, the Gemara says, since Yisrael did the first third, it's Mutter. And the fact that the guy finished the cooking is not going to answer it. The Samri Shainim who learn that the Vart is the first third. The Bishul, the first third of the Bishul is all that matters. And after the first third, nothing matters. So let's flip it around the other way. Let's say a Goy did the first third. And the Yisrael finished it. It would also be Usser. Because all that matters is the first third. The Samri Shainim who hold this. That's Rabbeinu Chananel holds that. The Rashba and Teres Habayis holds that. He says, and the Ran holds that as well. But most Rishainim say, no, you can't learn a Chumr from a Kula. So, yes, we said that if the Yisrael cooked the first third, the guy finishing it would not aser it, but that does not mean that if the guy cooked the first third, that the Yisrael finishing it would not be matter it. Meaning it would still be mutter if the guy, if the Yisrael finished. That's how the Rosh Paskins and Avodah Zarah and the Beis Yosef in Tafkuf Yud Gimel is machmir, like the Rach, that all that matters is the first third. And because he says the Rosh, who's Mekel, is a Das Yochid. So the Ramon, the Darkei Moshe, and Sifkot and Tess asks, how can you say the Rosh is a Das Yochid? And he brings down to the Maharami Rutenberg and Rabbeinu Peretz and the Mordechai, who are Rishonim Basra, they're the later Rishonim. They are normally Machmir when it comes to Bishul Akum, but in this case, they're all Mekel. That if a guy cooked the first third and Yisrael finished it off, that it's going to be Mutter. So, and also the Teres HaChatas Pas and the Shulchan Aruch, as you know, is Matir by a Hefsid Meruba and the Knesset HaGedayla, also says, how can you say the Rosh is the Das Yochid? If you do the count, you're going to see there's many more that are Matir. So, Lamaisa, it's the Pri Chadash is Mekel like the Ramah, and the Pri Toyar is Machmer like the Mechaber. So, Lamaisa, it's a Machlekes. If a guy cooked the first third and the Yisrael finished it off, there's different Shitas, whether or not it's considered Usser or not. But what's interesting is, why would those who hold its mutter be okay? If Yisrael cooked the first third, and a guy finished it off, what's the svara? Why it's mutter? So there's two different mahalchim that we find in the Paiskim. First mahalch is the shita of the Re'ah. The Ra'ah says that I'll read the Lashon because the Lashon makes an afkamin. He says, Mi'ika midi, mi'ika mandi amar, kisha bishal hanachri kidei machol ben drusai, uba yisrael la'eichlai. If the guy would cook it, tilka machol ben drusai, and the Yisrael would now eat it, d'loi mitzar, avade it's going to be asar. So ein dinenu elo bishabishal hanachri kidei machol ben drusai v'gamra Yisrael, so they're all saying clearly, if a guy cooks it a third, it's treif. It's bishalakam. You can't eat it. But you take it now and you cook it more, that's a iser hachayzer lehechsheirai, and it's going to become mutter because Yisrael did something to it to be matter. Whereas the Rush says a different lashon. The Rush says that the vart is, shlish bishul is not chashav at all. The first third of the cooking is not called bishul. We look at it as if nothing happened to it. Now makes a nafkamina, says Rav Asher Weiss, regarding saki. If the heter, that the reason if Yisrael cooked the first third, the guy doesn't aser it, if a guy cooked the first third, and Yisrael finished it, that it's because is iser hachoyzer leheter, so it's not going to apply to saki because the guy finished the whole process. But if you say the svara is that it's not considered cooked bechlal when it's only kamachal ben drusai mitzad the dinam of bishalakum, then you could say, well, what happened before it was cooked before the shlish bishula doesn't matter. That was cooked by a guy, but it doesn't matter. What happens is the ikar process it's finishing it, and when it was finished, there was no bishul involved, and therefore it's tzad to be Mekel as well, but then he says that even the Re'ah would be Matir, because the Re'ah says it's only Aser because the Yisrael's Bala Eichlai after the guy cooked it for a third. But if the Yisrael's not coming to eat it, the Yisrael's simply gonna wait for the guy to do more processing, it could be even the Re'ah would be Matir, and therefore it's going to be okay. The fourth thing of why to be Matir Saki is, was the guy's Kavana Bechal to cook it for Achila? Right, why did the guy cook this rice to make sake with this in the beginning? The first process, he cooked it. He didn't cook it bechalal for achila. When he heated it up, was he heating it up to cook it to be mevashel oichel? No. He was heating it up to create a chemical process, softening the grain so that the grain could now interact with the enzymes that happened to it. It bechalal maybe was not even a maise bishel. Maybe. We don't look at that as cooking bechlal. It's not cooking, it's not bishul akum, because it was bechlal not in the realm of preparing food. That's number one. And number two was the kavan of the mevashal. Because perhaps, let's say, he was mechaven to be mevashal. But he wasn't being mevashal l'shem achila. If a guy is mevashal something without having kavana to cook food, okay, so there's two nidunim here. Is it called bishul eichel bechlal? Even if it is bishul eichel, but the guy wasn't mechaven to cook the food. What do we mean as follows? The first thing is it considered bishul? So there's a Tshuvas Nachla Shiva who talks about pretzels that the goyim used to make. They used to first take the thick dough, boil it, and then after they boiled it, they would put it into the oven to bake it. So Shaila is, are these pretzels considered bishul akum? So he says, well, the first bishul is layahani midi, because you couldn't eat it after the first bishul, you have to first bake it. And once you're baking it, it's already paspalter, and therefore he says it's going to be okay. That's the svar with the pretzels. So according to that, you could say the vart is not that the afiyas mevatal the bishul, but rather that the original bishul didn't accomplish anything. It wasn't edible after the first bishul, and therefore there's no problem at all. And that's the Tiferes Yisrael in his Tshuvas, in the Tiferes Yisrael, Navayi Zohar Perek Beis, in his Mishnayis. Sifkotin and Beis says bretzels, he's referring to pretzels, which the goyim are mevashal, and then they cook. The makim shinogu heter, bepas nachtoim, he says it's shari, because the asi afia umevatel bishal. Says, yes, he seems to be chaylik on the first mahalach. First mahalach was the Nachla Shiva, that the first bishal was not considered anything. It's only the afia that mattered. The Tiferes Yisrael says, no, the first bishul was okay, but it's a bishul of Issa, which is chayzer leheter, since the Yisrael did the afia afterwards. So according to this, there's a makad to be makel by saki, because the if you go with the Tiferes Yisrael, that it the bishul that fias mevatel the bishul saki would not be good. But if you go with the nachlas shiva, that it's leyahani v'ley midi, the bishul didn't help at all. L'chayr, the bishul didn't help at all to prepare it. And then the final svara of the other side, which is the kavon of the mevashel. You all know the gemara of a guy who cooks the swamp. He lights a swamp on fire. Can eat the chagavim, right? So he said, the Gemara says that that's not considered bishalakam because the guy didn't have in mind to cook. The other case was the case of the charech resha, the akam which is trying to burn the hair off of the head of an animal and the head gets cooked. That's not considered bishalakam because he wasn't mechavim for that. If that's the case, over here too, perhaps, when you're cooking the rice, you're not cooking it for achila. Or do you say, well, you're cooking it for achila for later on? I see we're out of time, so tell me what to do. We could finish off, or I see people are coming in from Meyer, I see. It's a long sentence, though. Okay, it's a whole shmuz. We're not going to get to that tonight, but that's a whole sugya by itself. Okay, so give me 2 more minutes. I'll try to wrap it up. Okay, I see they're making another minion outside already. So it's So lemaisa, in this case where you're mechavim to cook it, you're cooking the rice, but your kavana is not that the rice should be eaten. This is a shaila which the Marami Rittenberg talks about in Chelik Dalet Siman and Ches, and he's mechadesh l'shitasai that he holds ishun is a problem, not like the way the Rambam says he holds ishun is a problem, but he says, but if the reason why you're doing the ishun is in order to preserve the food so it should last longer, so even though you're mechavim for the ishun, that's not called bishalakum. Therefore, if you're cooking, and the reason why you're cooking it, and the guy is mechavin for bishul, but his kavana is not to make prepare it to be eaten. His kavana is to do a process for later. There's no problem of bishul akum, and we could apply that concept to the sake as well. You're cooking the rice. So let's say your mom is cooking the rice, and it's proper bishul akum. And your kavana is that it should be eaten one day, but not that it should be eaten in its current state, but that it should be eaten later on. According to the Marami Rittenberg, it's not going to be a problem of bishul akum. The Chuvas Haran seems to be chaylik on that. And there's a Makar Nemon that Rav Eliyashiv was actually Saimech Anit Lahate when it comes to pasteurizing various vegetables. Says that one of the ways of steaming vegetables to make sure that there's no bugs in them or to kill the microbes, that they shouldn't rot quickly, is that you steam them quickly. And Taka cooks them, they become edible after that. Rav Eliyashiv held that's okay because the Kavana is that the vegetables should be eaten, but it's a process to prepare it, to cook them so that they're ready, right? So that to kill the bugs so that they can be eaten later on. Rav Eliyashiv held that that's not called bishul akum. And therefore, if so, we could say that in our case, we're cooking the rice to be able to then dry it out and to add an enzymes and then to make the sake out of it, perhaps it's going to be okay as well. The next shayla, which we spoke about already, is that it's nishtane. That because the sake is changing, we're going to distill it and make this mash into, separate the alcohol, distill it and make it into something else. Would that take it off? Would that take the whole din of bishul akum off of the original thing? So he says the Chuvas Yachinu Boyas, Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, talks about such a case. And he says that if you take challah, so they'd make like a chocolate roll, they'd like soak the challah and mush it into a roll. So the Yachinu Boyas says that you cannot be mekel, even though you can't tell it's chal anymore, because we don't find the heter by bishul nachrim that because the tapshul is nishtane, that it's mutter. And the same thing by pasakum. If it's pasakum, you don't can be matter just because it's nishtane. But he brings down from Reb Chaim Falaji in Yeridei Asim and Kuf Yud Beis that the chumra is only where the piece is still there, you just can't see it. But let's say you take bread, there's a merdek achidish, and you grind it up and you make it back into flour. Says Reb Chaim Falaji, it's no longer pasakum. And therefore, the Isser of Pasakum flesh left. So, let's say you have matzah, which is Pasakum, and you make matzah mel. You can take that matzah mel of Pasakum and you can eat it because the Isser of Pasakum flies off because the whole Cheftz is no longer here. So, says Rav Asher Weiss, the same thing applies to our case. The original issue is the cooked rice. Now that we took the alcohol off of it, there's no Sheikhas to the original thing, and therefore, it would become mutter. There's no issue of Pas, and there's no issue of bishul. Agav, the reason why we are, one of the reasons why we're makel to sell whiskey on Pesach is because it's a makom to say that whiskey is not really chametz, with the same svara, because the way the whiskey is made is through the distillation process. So when it was a gas, you can't call it chametz. So it was chametz in the when it was a beer. Then you make it into a gas. The gas then condenses on the sides of the distillation column and comes back down as a whiskey. Is it fair to say that the whiskey is not really chametz? It's not the original thing anymore. Gas can't be chametz, right? And the whiskey, which is condensed gas, is not chametz. And we're saying on that to be matir selling whiskey as chametz, that it's not considered chametz gum. Or copy that. We're not matir to drink it on Pesach, which are those who wanted to go that far as well, but we are samech on it to say that you're allowed to sell it. We'll finish off with the last thing regarding commercial cooking. And we know the famous Maritzalon, or the Maritatz, who holds that the whole issue of Bishulakim is because of chasnas, but if it's being cooked in some vita, you know, thing by some guy making a couple of dollars an hour and he has no sheikhas to you, he's not going to marry his daughter, he's not going to marry your daughter, there's a tzad to say that there's no issue of Bishulakim there. We're not samech on that because we only find the heter of palter by pas. We don't find the heter of palter by bishul, but there is the maritatz. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, together with that maritatz and together with saying that we don't have that type of equipment at home, so no one cooks with steam at home, and definitely not the type of machines that they use in factories, and therefore the maritatz, together with the fact that goyim, it's a new way of cooking that didn't exist in the times of Chazal, and it's a way that no one cooks at home, it's not included in the gezer of chasnas, is a makom to be makel as well. So Rav Asher says, you put all of these svaras together, these seven different nekudas that we spoke about, which hopefully was a chazara of a lot of the inyanim that you learned about over this zaman, put it all together, that explains why you're able to drink sake, even though it was taka cooked by a goy. And again, it takes back to the heta, why we're samech on coffee, why it's considered Bishul Yisrael, taking it back to rice, a lot more to talk about, but we'll have to stop over here.